getting a divorce, even thinking about getting a divorce, can be overwhelming, scary, and sometimes exciting. Join divorce coach and mediator Mandy Walker for conversations about divorce. The more you know, the easier it will be to make your divorce healthier, less stressful, and to put it behind you. Here's Mandy.
Welcome to Conversations About Divorce. I'm Mandy Walker, and today we're talking about whether the explosion in online resources can help you get divorced without using attorneys. As a divorce coach and mediator, many of my clients are interested in getting divorced without using attorneys. Sometimes that's because attorneys simply aren't in the budget. Here in Colorado, I hear estimates of 10 to 15 grand per party for having full attorney representation, and that's even in a pretty straightforward vanilla divorce. Sometimes people tell me they just don't want attorneys to get involved because they see it as making it more complicated and increasing the conflict. There's that negative association, whether that's from prior experience or the experience of a friend or just general reputation. And of course, the situation I'm on the watch for is not wanting to involve an attorney because of a power and control issue. Sometimes the spouse who has the power is hoping to get a better settlement arrangement than they would otherwise, so they want to avoid using attorneys. 10 years ago, I think it was hard to get divorced without attorneys. These days, it is realistic and a viable option for many people. There are many more resources available now, including people like me who are offering coaching, and there are different ways of working with attorneys. But the questions I have today is, are there pitfalls of trying to go it alone? What are the risks? If you're using online resources, how do you know which ones to trust and which ones could make your situation worse? What are the red flags you should watch out for? Well, joining us today is an expert in this area. His name is Gregory Frank. Gregory is co-founder of Divorce Force. Divorce Force is the number one online community that's committed to connecting and empowering those affected by divorce. Welcome, Gregory.
Hi, how are you? Good to be here.
Thank you so much for being with us today. Gregory, I thought I could start with asking you, we know that many people who are faced with divorce now are going online to get help and information. But when we say online, what do we mean? Is it Facebook? Is it blogs? Is it dedicated media outlets, forums, all of the above? Or what's your take on that?
Well, you know, online is really anything that resides digitally. So that could be a website. It could be an app. It could be a digital news or media outlet. You know, consumers are finding resources online for basically every facet of their life. So naturally, you know, there is a world of information and data that's out there and that's available really at your fingertips on all things divorce, right? Whether it's pre-planning for a divorce, whether you're in a divorce or you're post-divorce, you really have access to lots of resources online depending on what you're looking for.
Right. And so I'm going to guess that maybe if somebody who's an avid blog reader, they're going to go searching for the blogs on divorce. If somebody's a Facebook addict, they're going to go to Facebook. So it's kind of like whatever online mechanism that you're comfortable with and you're used to using, that's going to be your first place to check for resources mm-hmm. when you're faced with divorce.
Mm-hmm. Not so much with Facebook. You know, if you're going to sit with a matrimonial attorney, one of the first things that you're going to hear is get off Facebook. And there's a multitude of reasons. You know, over 90% of matrimonial cases in 2017 to date have cited Facebook somewhere in the proceeding papers. It's a phenomenal place to do research on your spouse. If you think about it, if you're going to go to court claiming that you can't pay child support and you're checking into restaurants and taking vacations and you're outlining this on Facebook, when you should be with your children, for example, that's not going to fare too well. So, you know, there are other places to go other than Facebook to find resources on divorce. And I would highly recommend to anybody that's affected by divorce and they're looking for resources. You know, there are a lot of places off Facebook that you may want to turn towards.
Right. So I think that touches on one of the questions that I had here, the challenges of getting support during divorce online. It's about privacy. And one of the things with Facebook is, you know, even if you join a group, you still have your identity is there. It's not cloaked. So, and even if you join a closed group, it's still your identity is your public identity. And so you could easily be in a closed group. I guess easily, I'm not sure about that, but you could end up being in a closed group and your spouse could be in there too. And you would know it.
Mm-hmm. You know, I don't want to be self-promoting here, but, you know, there are one of the things that we do is provide safety and security for people that are thinking about a divorce and they want to have their identities protected. You know, when you go online, there are all different sorts of capabilities to track your behavior. You know, that's why Google is a multi-billion-dollar business, because they know how to effectively target people based upon what they're searching for and what websites they visit. So when you're contemplating a divorce, or you're in a position where you need to do your research digitally, which is a phenomenal place to do it, you know, there are various steps that I would recommend people take in order to keep their identities protected, if that in fact is something that's of a key importance to this individual.
So can you give us an outline of those steps? Like, do you just look for, if you're going to actually have to register somewhere, you look for a community or a forum where you can create your own username and that your real email is shielded from people?
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, the first thing that you have to do is you have to really think about how you're communicating. So I would certainly set up a brand new email account. You know, whether it's one of the free services that are available to you, it could be Gmail or Yahoo, whatever the case is. And you have to really think twice about where you're checking this email, how you're checking this email. You know, if you're sharing a home computer, you may want to think twice about that as opposed to using a browser on your cell phone. You should be very cautious about your screen name. Make sure it's a name that people wouldn't easily identify with who you are. Little tips like that. I would be very careful about how you log into these websites, about saving passwords, where you're writing down your usernames. You know, listen, the great thing about the internet is that you can create a different persona, and you can do all of these types of you can do all this type of research digitally, but clear your browser history so, you know, your spouse doesn't see what you're doing. You know, you just have to be a little smart. You have to think twice about all the moves that you're making. But the good news is that there are so many capabilities and so much information you can obtain online that it's a phenomenal place to start.
So it's worth making the effort and getting familiar with what you can do to protect yourself. Go ahead.
Yeah, sure. I mean, when you say protect yourself, it's really, are you looking to arm yourself with information? Are you looking to produce your filing online? Are you looking for financial assistance? Are you looking to research custody and co-parenting agreements and the local laws? It really depends on what you're looking to do. But first and foremost, I would be very protective about how I browse the internet, and I would make sure that I cover my tracks. If in fact you are in a phase where you're researching divorce, right, and you need to be incognito.
Right. Well, I think that what you've just said there raises another aspect to this, is like that you can use the internet for research and information gathering, or you can use the internet for support and emotional support in forums and saying and engaging people and saying, hey, this is what's going on. You know, what am I supposed to do? And I think that that's where I get more concerned about shielding your identity and being more measured and considering the responses that you're getting back than going to a site to research how do you file for divorce on your own.
I couldn't agree more with you. I mean, that's really been a core foundation of what we do. You know, it's making sure that your identity is protected. And, you know, if you're contemplating a divorce, Mandy, that's typically when you want your identity protected the most. And then as you move through the process and you actually finish your divorce, having the ability to now go out and reclaim your identity is a very key part of relaunching yourself, you know, for lack of a better example.
Right.
So, you know, there is a path that people take when they are affected by divorce, and depending on what phase they're in, there are different wants, needs, and requirements. If you are going to be in a litigious situation and you feel that you're going to be tied up in court for some time and it's not an amicable divorce, you may want to be even more protective of your identity. If you're in a position where it's amicable and you just need to go online to research certain components of a divorce and both parties are aware that the divorce is taking place, well, then you need to be less concerned about protecting your identity.
Right. So changing the topic just a little bit here, Gregory, with your experience with Divorce Force, who goes online? What can you share about demographics? Is it more men than women? Do they choose different resources? Do people who are 50 plus go online, or is it more the 30, 40-year-olds?
So that's a really phenomenal question. We've had over 400,000 people come to our site. We've got approximately 30,000 members. We've had over 2 million page views of content on the platform. And, you know, we see a demographic breakdown of right around 55% women, 45% men, which is really fantastic, because typically websites or communities like ours will skew predominantly women. But what we're finding is that men are safe and supportive on the platform. It's having a platform where people can come and talk about all things divorce and protect your identity and really take that first step is a very significant option for many people, you know, that are affected by divorce, for sure.
Right. Right. I know on my own blog, my readers' stats seem to echo what your experience is, that there are more women, but it's not that disproportionate. And I think that's encouraging, because oftentimes some of the men that I see as clients are very reluctant to talk to people about what's going on. And so it reassures me to know if they're going online and getting more information and getting support that way, then that's a positive.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, there are two main reasons why. Number one is that, and I can only speak for the platform that we produce, it's very gender neutral, and where we don't skew the content that we provide or the services and the products that we put in front of our consumers. We don't skew male or female. It's an open opportunity. And number two, when we market our product and we market the community to others, again, it's very gender neutral. And it also has to do with the brand messaging when we're out there talking about the benefits of being in a divorce forum or a community to help people. It's, you know, whether you're affected through co-parenting, financially, emotionally, all these issues that follow divorce, none of them are really gender specific anymore.
Right. So, and I think, though, that's a really interesting point. And that was, you know, one of my questions was to ask you about how should people choose the resources where they're going, the communities, the forums, how should they choose where they're spending their time and getting advice and input from? And how do they know, how can they make a judgment call as to whether it's skewed information, not neutral, and therefore that could impact them negatively as they're working through this because it's not accurate for their situation?
It's almost, you know, I'm almost thinking of the phrase fake news, right? So there are thousands of websites out there. I mean, thousands of websites that are out there that have some sort of content relating to divorce or laws or custody or emotional. You know, the reality is, at the end of the day, what is the trusted source of the information and where is the information going? So when we put out content, we work with some of the best subject matter experts out there. So we vet where this content is coming. We don't just allow anybody to put up an article that claims a statistic, or, you know, if there are going to be opinions, it's got to be written by a professional. But on the flip side, the power of a community is when you have a community of tens of thousands of people and you ask questions, even as simple as, you know, what's the most effective way to co-parent? And you have thousands of people chiming in on a conversation, or you have an entire community of people to vet your question. that's real life feedback as opposed to feedback that you're reading on a blog. So depending on what you're looking for, there are certain components of data and information that you can find online which are factual and will always point to the source of the fact. But then the other type of content is user generated. And that's what's really important to understand, the difference between the two.
Okay, good point. We're going to take a short break here. Listeners, thank you for joining us today. Today, we're talking about the reality of getting divorced without attorneys and how to make the most effective use of online resources that are available to you. My guest today is Gregory Frank. Gregory is co-founder of Divorce Force, which is the number one online community that's committed to connecting and empowering people who are going through divorce. Gregory, I wondered if you would take a few moments and share with our listeners how Divorce Force came into being.
Sure, I'd love to. Back in 2012, I myself was going through a really horrific divorce, and as most can be, right? And I was introduced to my business partner, who is a networker, and he had sent out an email that he wanted to put together divorcing dads and create a live networking group so fathers could share their experiences and learn from each other on how to navigate the court system, how to be a better co-parent. And when I received the email, I had this vision of creating a digital community, of providing all these resources on one website where people can come and they can read content, they can meet other people. And then it developed into a really robust platform where, using different filters, you can find people. Right. So if you're looking for people for support or education, or you're looking to date again, or you're just looking for new friends, if a stay-at-home mom wants to meet another stay-at-home mom in the area so they can talk to each other for support, really a true sense of community, we developed the product. And it's been really engaging, and it's been very helpful to so many people. So at the same time, you know, Mandy, it's been extremely rewarding.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's interesting, because it's interesting that you can take your own personal divorce and turn it around and use it to identify where there's a need and develop services that meet that need. And you and I are both in that area. And that speaks to, again, that there are so many more resources available now for people who are going through this life experience than there were previously.
Yeah. And at the end of the day, you have to be able to figure out, based on somebody's need and what stage of the divorce they're in, how you can provide them with the best products and services to help them get through such a difficult time in their lives. And, you know, that is, again, it's another very rewarding part about what we do, is having the ability to help people and provide them the resources that they need at the time that they need them.
Right. Excellent. And Gregory, you mentioned when we were prepping for the show that you have a free download available for listeners.
Yeah, sure. You can go to divorceforce.com and you can register for a free account. It takes about 30 seconds. And after you register, you'll be in the forums and you can ask all the questions that you have. You'll receive answers from not just individuals, but you'll receive answers from professionals as well. And then there's also a premium component for those people that want to become subscribers and take advantage of some more of the features that they offer. But you can find Divorce Force in the iTunes App Store as well as on Google Play.
Great. So you can access it from your phone as well as the desktop computer.
You can access it from anywhere. As long as you have a smartphone, you can either view the product through mobile web or you can download the app. And then if you're on a desktop computer, you can certainly go to divorceforce.com.
Great. All right. Well, let me get back to my questions for you, Gregory. So one area that I wanted to talk about is a resource like Divorce Force a substitute for legal advice? And I know that you went through a very difficult divorce. Yours went on for 4 years, and then you took over, you fired your attorney and you started working on it yourself. So you have a lot of experience within the legal field itself. Mm-hmm. So I'm curious as to what you think.
Well, it's not a black and white answer. So when you're contemplating going through a divorce, you know, there are many times where you need to have very strong legal representation to protect you and to lay what I call the foundation of a divorce. So typically, both parties will end up in court, and there will be, you know, the judge will make an interim order, and those are the orders that are followed until either settlement or a trial. So, and again, the laws change state to state. So I would never say at this point that you should trust anything offline 100%, because you really need to take a look at your personal situation. Now, there are people that can navigate their own divorce and do not need to hire an attorney, and they can find all the resources. They can use templates that are available online and create their own documentation. They can go to the court and they can file it on their own. You can certainly do that. And then the opposite side of the spectrum is you hire an attorney and they do everything for you. Everybody's situation is different, and it boils down to a factor of money. It's, you know, it boils down to a factor of time and whether or not somebody's capable of representing themselves and having the best possible outcome. And again, Mandy, you have to really take a look at your personal situation, understand what your current divorce looks like, and make a judgment call whether or not you need legal representation, or if you can use a host of online services to do it for you. But I would certainly recommend to anybody that's contemplating or in a divorce, I would not listen to my attorney 100%. You know, there's so much information that's available online that you should take advantage of it. Talk to other people, understand others' experiences. If you ask the question to 100 people and 100 people say yes, usually it's true. So, yeah, I would do a little bit of both. And as you progress down the road of divorce, if you still feel that you need to keep an attorney, by all means, you should have one. But if you feel you're at a point where you can kind of take over, well, you know, that's only something you can decide.
Right. I think you make a good point. I like to help people understand the difference between knowing what the law is and legal advice. And what was explained to me is, you know, I could go online and read the statute on spousal support in Colorado, and anybody can do that. But how that statute applies to my particular situation is legal advice. And so I do often tell people on very specific topics, you know, this is an area that you may want to get a legal consult on, just so that you understand how the law is going to apply to your very specific facts. But otherwise, you know, if you and your spouse can come to an agreement on how you want to divide things, then you may not need to retain an attorney. And I think going online and in a community like Divorce Force and getting ideas of how to handle things is phenomenal, because people can really make whatever agreements that they want to make. I had a couple.
Well, yeah, I mean, you're right.
Go ahead, Greg.
I mean, you're right. I mean, there are a number of things that you can do online, right? But at the end of the day, when you file divorce papers, they have to be formatted. They have to be in a certain order. They've got to be produced properly. They've got to be submitted to the court for filing. They have to be signed off by a judge. And these are things that people can do on their own. You just have to do a little bit of research and go to the courts and be willing to ask the questions and do the legwork. But you know, some of the best opportunities are, if it's an amicable situation, Mandy, is you can outline what you want your divorce to look like, meaning you can write your custody agreements, you can write your financial agreement, and then hire an attorney to kind of put it all together, pay them for a couple of hours of their time, and, you know, they'll submit the paperwork to the judge.
Right.
And that's in an amicable situation. I know plenty of people that have done that. You know, they've sat down at the kitchen table, they've sketched out what they want their divorce to look like, they both met with the attorney together, the attorney drafted the documentation, and filed. But we all know that that's not always the case. Most cases, it's not that easy. So you have to look at your personal situation, and yeah, I mean, you definitely go online to the community, you can ask the questions, get your information, you know, kind of lay that foundation. And, you know, the other thing is, when you go see an attorney, the more information you have, the better off you're going to feel about whether or not this is the right person to handle your case. Because, you know, let's be realistic, attorneys charge by the hour. It is a business. And unfortunately, you have to make sure that your attorney has your best interest at heart. And it can be difficult to find that. But, you know, listen, if you're going to go buy a car, the more information you know about the sales price, what the lease payments are, what the bank financing looks like, what the options are, you're going to get a better deal because you understand the marketplace for this vehicle. Well, it's the same thing with a matrimonial attorney. You need to have a little bit of ammunition. You need to have some data in your back pocket. So when you go and interview your attorney, you can make a very important decision as to whether or not you want that individual to represent you.
Right. So, and like online communities are a good way of gathering some of that information and even challenging it and saying, hey, I was told X, Y, Z. What's been your experiences and kind of getting input on that?
100%. So being able to go out to a community of a lot of people and say, hey, I was thinking about hiring, you know, Bill Williams as my attorney. Has anybody here worked with Bill? It's a great place to vet feedback on that attorney. Being able to go into a community and ask questions about, you know, I'm appearing in front of Judge Johnson, you know, what is his typical stance on custody? Is he a 50-50 judge? Does he typically grant custody to the mother, to the father? You know, being able to go out there and do your due diligence, for lack of a better example, is a really smart thing. And you know, these tools are available. I mean, there are so many places to get these types of information tidbits. But, you know, obviously we prefer people come to Divorce Force because we put it all together very easily under one platform. So,
right.
Yeah.
So I'm curious, Gregory, do you, in your platform, do you moderate comments that your members leave? I mean, how do you keep it so that it's like what sort of guidelines do you set? Because I remember, like, you know, go back years ago with Huffington Post, some of the comments that would get posted on articles were really inflammatory and not particularly helpful.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, whenever you're online and you're in any type of a format where people can post online, you know, moderation is very important these days. You know, if somebody is on our site and they're using defamatory language or they're acting outside of our code of ethics or they're violating our privacy policy in terms of use, you know, then we will certainly reach out to the user and let them know that either they need to either need to adjust their tone or we'll deactivate them. And, you know, there have been times, very infrequently, but there have been times where we've removed posts immediately because they violate our terms of service.
Right.
But for the most part, you know, one of the greatest opportunities of an open forum is just that. It's having the ability to speak what's on your mind. It's having the ability to be real and provide real commentary, real feedback, real anything. So, you know, we don't really delete much unless it's very offensive, whether it's promotional or something of that nature. But, you know, when you enter a divorce forum, most people on our forum, I would say 99% of the people on our forum are really amazing. You know, they're looking for the community. They're looking for answers. They're looking for support. They're looking for friendship, or they just want to help each other. And for anybody that's listening to your podcast, anybody that's affected by divorce, when you meet others that are affected by divorce, there's always this bond, right? There's this instantaneous affinity for right. The other person. And when you put yourself into a forum that specializes in those types of people, you know, most are very supportive and caring.
Are there any situations where you would tell people to stay away from online resources?
You know, we'd have to define the resource a little bit. I would never tell anybody never to go and gain information. I would just say, make sure that wherever you're viewing your data, right, wherever you're going for this information is a trusted, reliable source. You know, take a look at what others are saying about that source online. Look for reviews if possible. And, you know, when you land on a site, you should be able to figure out pretty quickly whether or not it's a reliable source just by the look and feel of the platform.
Okay.
You know, you can go on Facebook and look up a group, for example, and if the group has 500 followers or the group has 30,000 followers and very active, you can tell right away whether or not it's real. You know, if you're on Instagram and somebody's page has 100,000 followers, but they only receive one or two comments per post, that's very low engagement, right? So maybe those are bought, maybe it's manufactured. So there are some things that you can do using a lot of common sense to figure out whether or not it's a reliable source.
Okay, that's great advice there. We're almost up on time. I was wondering if you had one more tip or piece of advice for people who are going through divorce and looking for help online.
Mm-hmm. You know, I would say you have to really look at your personal situation. I can't stress that enough. If you need to keep your identity protected, well, then you should. And you should be very cautious about how you operate digitally, because if you end up in a litigious divorce situation, there are lawyers out there, you know, that hire experts to really take a look at your digital footprint. And a lot of it can be used against you if you're doing things that you shouldn't be doing, or if you're trying to misrepresent yourself in court documents. You know, obviously you see all the hacks that happen, you know, from the credit companies to the banks.
Yes.
You know, it's everything you do is digital. So you got to be really, really, really careful about that. So I can't stress that enough. But in terms of being on a digital platform and doing your due diligence, by all means, take advantage of what's out there. Spend some time on Google, spend some time on different platforms, connect with other people, because having the ability to find feedback from other people that are geographically relevant to you, that have been there, done that, or are navigating the same court system, that have a little bit more experience, or that have used the attorneys that you're looking to utilize, or any of the products and services that are out there that you need to use to get through your divorce, definitely the internet is a phenomenal place to do that due diligence.
Thank you so much, Gregory. I do really believe that forums like yours help to remove some of the stigma and the judgment around divorce, and that does still exist. And you're making it easier for those who are experiencing divorce. So thank you for doing what you're doing, and please keep doing it.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me. It was a real pleasure.
Listeners, remember, go check out Divorce Force. You can create membership for free there, and then you can look to see if the premium subscription is something that would help you. But do check it out. It's an awesome community. And my wish for you is that you don't just let divorce happen to you. Whether this is something you've initiated or it's been forced upon you, I want you to take an active role in it. Don't go through this on autopilot thinking that you're powerless. This is all about your future, and it starts with you making the commitment to be informed about ending your marriage, both about your finances and your parenting. It's about you making the best decisions you can, and that means you taking responsibility. And as Gregory said earlier on, the more information you know about getting divorced and what that's going to take, the better off you're going to be. Thank you for listening. Please remember to check out my blog at sincemydivorce.com. You'll find a synopsis of the show on there, and I hope you'll join us again for more conversations. I'm Mandy Walker.